July 17th, junior high and track camp, morning chapel.
So, how is everybody today?
Good.
Good? You look pretty tired.
Yeah.
No? Well, I'm pretty tired. So, John, obviously, isn't here, and I'm the one speaking to you guys. Well, I was given the opportunity to speak because this is what I want to do with my life, and this is kind of what I'm going to speak on. So, I'm going to start with a little bit about me. I want to be a pastor when I grow up and speak at camps and one day have a church and speak there. So, that's why I'm here now, and this is kind of my practice so I can get better at it slowly and surely, and so I can maybe speak to you guys and you'll learn something. So, yeah, my job is to speak, but there's one difference about me speaking. It's never really my words that I'm using. It's just my voice, because I could never speak to you guys by myself. It's always been God speaking through me, because God gave me the idea of what to speak on, and I could never do it alone. And I tried to do it alone, and it didn't work out that well, and I never really spoke that good when I was one trying to do it myself. So, God gave me the word that I was supposed to speak on, and he also gave me some people to help me speak and help me have the confidence to stand. Well, I guess I'm kind of sitting right now, but to sit in front of you and speak. Some of them are sitting in with you guys. Some of your cabin leaders are those people. Some of them even cabin led me when I was your age. It's a true story. But before that, before I knew, well, I kind of always knew I was supposed to be a speaker. But before that, I kind of went the other way. I decided I didn't really want to step into this role yet, so I decided not to, and then I had to kind of come back, and now, well, I'm sitting here now speaking to you guys. So, I'm going to use two different scriptures today. So, you guys remember the story Michael told you guys yesterday during Bible time? Who can tell me what it was? Zachary. Yes, it is a parable, one of Jesus' parables. Can anybody tell me what the parable was? Blaze him.
Two sons and a brother.
Yes, the story of the prodigal son. So I'm going to read it to you because it seems like you guys don't remember it that well. So I'm going to flip to Luke 15, 11 to 32. So this is the story of the lost son, or the prodigal son. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now, instead of waiting until you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between the sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all of his belongings and took a trip to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money on wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. The boy became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. And this is pretty nasty food, like really, really gross what you'd be feeding to pigs at this time. So, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired men have food enough to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer being called your son. Please take me on as a hired man.' So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embracing him, and kissed him. His son said, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But his father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf We've been fattening in the pen. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. That's all I'm really going to speak on for this. So Jesus is writing a parable of the lost son. And what it talks about is you guys can walk away from Jesus. That is your free choice. God gave us free will. I did that and I ended up alone. I lost a lot of friends. And I am now $12,000 in debt. It's a good time. Like the prodigal son, he lost all of his money. But in the end, he returned to his father. And the father is a representation of God and Jesus. And he was welcomed back with open arms. Because Jesus loves all of you. And that's just who Jesus is. And he will accept you guys back. Who knows what the word resilience means? Thomas.
I think it's like doing saying you won't do it, but then changing your mind after.
Are you just stretching, Robert?
Yeah.
Okay. Zachary, what do you think?
Showing resistance to what somebody wants you to do.
Kind of. So when I understand resilience, it's pushing through something. So when you're playing a sport and you get injured, but you keep on running, you just stand back up and you keep pushing. That's resilience. It's going through. And that's what John wants me to speak on today is resilience. Memphis?
Like not giving up?
Yeah, kind of. There's two forms of resilience. There's not giving up and there's resisting temptations. There's resisting worldly desires, we'll call them. So that is what resilience is, and that's what I'm speaking on. So I'm going to go to a second scripture, and this is my favorite eschatology, because it's not a book. It's in James. James chapter 1. So, to start off, I'm going to do this kind of backwards. We're going to read No, we'll go from the beginning. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. This is how James opens up his letter to the church. He's saying that you are to be resilient in your faith, and the longer and the better you push, the stronger you'll get the next time you are asked to be resilient. And that's what faith is. What's the scripture? Somebody writes that Christian faith isn't a sprint, but it's a marathon. Michael, do you remember who wrote that? Okay. I don't remember what it was, but it clicked in my head. That Christian faith is a marathon, not a sprint. And we are going to be tested. And that's just how it is. And we're called to be strong and resilient. And you know what? It's okay to fail. It is. You're to try not to, but we're all human. Who here's failed before? Because I've failed lots and lots and lots. You girls never failed before? None of you raised your hands? Well, I guess you're doing better than me. That's okay. Because it's okay to fail. Because God will always welcome you back in with open arms, like the prodigal son. Now, I'm going to just switch a little bit. That it's true, Christianity isn't easy, but there is one thing we have as Christians that we are called to bring to the world, and that is God. Because God gives us strength in the times of doubt, in the times of worry, in the times of resilience. James also writes about this because James is amazing. Actually, you know what? I have a question. Who knows who James is? Thomas? Yes, he's a person in the Bible. James was Jesus' brother. Could you imagine being the brother of Jesus?
Oh, that would be the best.
Be the best. I would be pretty cool.
Jesus had a brother.
Yeah, that was who James was. He was the brother of Jesus. And he always pointed the light back to Jesus. Sorry, this is a side note. So I think he's pretty cool. I don't know if he was younger or older. But I'm going to move on. So, James also writes, and this is very important to me, because I'm called to speak to you guys, and I need wisdom. And this is him writing to rely on his strength. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. He will not resent you asking, but when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. People like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. They cannot make up their mind. They waver back and forth in everything they do. So, James is writing that you just simply have to ask God. If you want strength, you just got to ask him, and you just got to believe. That's what faith is. And that's what remaining strong to your faith is you just ask. I've asked for wisdom before, and you know what? I haven't gotten it, but that's because I was doubting. That was in my times of doubt and my low points. But right now, I didn't know what to speak on before God gave me the words when I asked for wisdom what to write down. That's why I've got a whole page of this in scriptures, is because that's what God gave me to speak on. And that's what he wanted me to speak on. And you know what? Jesus loves you. That's simply what it is. He will, if you just ask, he loves you enough, he will answer. He will always answer, just as long as you follow him. Because to follow Jesus is a marathon, and it's going to be difficult, but that's why God's with you. God's all around us, like John said. It's kind of like the wind. You can't see him, but he's here. He's always here to help you in your times of low points, like he helped mine. But that's all I got. So I'm going to pray, and then I don't know what we have next, but yeah, that's all. So close your eyes, bow your heads. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity and the words that you gave me to speak to these children. And Lord, I just pray as we go on to the rest of our day that you just bless these kids and that there's no injuries and everybody just has a wonderful day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.